Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
There are certain phrases that are commonly used among people who are somewhat familiar with the Bible that, while containing some elements of truth, are nonetheless not exactly scriptural in the way they are used. One that comes readily to mind that is used frequently among those who wish to express the open invitation of Christ to sinners is, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Yet the Bible nowhere actually says that. John does say in the book of the Revelation, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But he is not making a blanket invitation to all of humanity, but is specifically addressing those who hear and those who are thirsty. Another one is, God is not willing that any should perish, as if to say that the fact that some men perish is something that frustrates God's purpose. Yet again, this is not at all what the Bible means or says when Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Once more, the statement is not made in a general sense, but Peter is speaking of a long-suffering which is directed at a specific group of people. He says to usward. The us is the same as the beloved in verse 8. We are brought to consider another catchphrase which is widely used, and that is, if it is his will. Now, one thing that we can be certain of is that all things are going to be done according to his will. But the little phrase, if it is his will, is many times used as a kind of escape clause to excuse our laziness, lack of discipline, and weak commitment. An example of what I mean is this. I'm asked to attend a meeting or to perform some service for someone at a future time. I'm not sure that I want to do this or not, but I don't really want to just come right out and say that. So I say, sure, I'll do that if the Lord's willing. Now I'm off the hook. If I decide I really don't want to do the thing asked, I can always fall back on my escape clause. Some try to support such action by saying that's what the Bible says in the book of James. Actually, James says the opposite. To paraphrase what James says is, rather than saying we're going to do something for a certainty, we should say we are certainly going to do something if God does not take our life. Obviously, as creatures, we're always subject to the fact that the unfolding purpose of God may cause us to change our course of action. But that fact should not prevent us from being straightforward and honest with our commitments or expressing our intentions plainly. In speaking to the Corinthians, Paul said, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will." The Corinthians had no doubt Paul would do everything in his power to come to them. And if he did not come, the only reason would be that God did not allow him to do it. So I believe we need to be very careful in the commitments we make. Understand that God may prevent us from accomplishing those commitments, but don't allow ourselves to use God's will as a way to beat around the bush with those obligations. I remember as a kid, if someone promised to do something and their sincerity was questioned, they might respond with, "I swear on a stack of Bibles," as if the quantity of the scriptures sworn upon ensured compliance. As the Lord's children, we do not need to swear on anything at all. Our word should be our bond. The Lord said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." As the children of God, let us speak truthfully. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The truth has made us free. Plainly, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. The truth does not need any enhancement. We should speak slowly. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Truth does not require a speedy reply, and we should speak boldly. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Speaking truth causes fear to flee away. What can men do to us? We should speak with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Knowing truth makes us wise. And lastly, we should speak soundly, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Truth mounts its own defense. How do you speak?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.